Ian Collins wants a word. Powered by the Mitsubishi L200. Tough enough to come with a 5-year, 125,000-mile warranty.
What's that, Kev? You're saying that the guest has cancelled, even though we'd set the microphones up, got the third place already, and we're hoping for some comedic value from our very special additional cast member this evening?
Yeah, well, 39 episodes in. I thought it was going to happen at some point.
Never happened
but
before.
Quick phone call, 10 minutes before. Can't make it, lad, sorry. So, we don't, for the first time, have a guest.
Good.
What are we going to do?
You know what, Kev? Seat of the Pants podcasting. We'll just find out when we get there.
Whoopie f***ing do.
Ian Collins wants a word.
Yes, hello, fellow workmates, and welcome to the big episode 39. You join us in true festive mode as today's the day we unveil the Once a Word Christmas tree, a huge, verdant offering of glitter, balls, lights and tinsel. All that's missing is something to stick on the top. Likely candidates should, ideally, be happy to endure a long period of time perched on a thick stub while thousands stare at them in awe and amazement. They should... Hang on, Kev, is this just another cheap Talisa gag? Yeah, I thought so. I tell you what, though, it's got all the hallmarks... And there'd be nothing wrong with that. On the programme, this.
Yee-hoo! How you doing there, podcast thanks?
A Chris Moyles offshore tax avoidance scheme's worth of this.
It really bugs the hell out of me.
And we'd be left blushing manically like Nadine Dorris's children if we didn't knock out some of this.
Just wondered if either of you have ever eaten kangaroo penis. Bye!
Oh, excitement levels are off the scale. And here's the man who helps things along. He's our executive producer, the Jim Bowen of the podcasting world. It's Sideshow Super Smashing Kev.
Look at what you could have won. It's questions and feedback via social media.
It's a speedboat! I live in a tower block!
And brother's special prize, like a tease made.
But yes, there would be that, wouldn't there? That was in the when they went round the dartboard.
Didn't they try and bring Bullseye back?
Dave Spikey.
Oh, that's right, yeah. I did well.
Yes, it's brilliant. It set itself incredibly high standards that it failed to reach. There was that lovely thing that Jim did, and I don't know if he did it, because he used to just say fantastic super to everything.
Yeah.
So somebody would say, you know, how's things with you? Well, I've been unemployed, Jim, for 7 years. Fantastic. The dog's got MS. Super. Poor old Jim's had some ill health of late, but whenever he's out and about, and he has a pint or two around where we record.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's often at hero status wherever he goes. Nobody has a pop at Jim Bowen. Strange, because he was a shit comedian, really. But a good quiz show host.
Weren't they all in those days?
Kev.
From Mates Rates.
Okay.
I don't even know what that means. Anyone else feel sorry for John Prescott? He looked sad when he didn't become a policeman. Is that what it was? Boyhood dream?
Do you think it was?
Yeah, I think it was.
Do you think he thought he was going to have a uniform and everything?
I
and a police car?
Yeah.
Two of them.
And an Alsatian on a bit of string.
Go on, Tony! In you go! Get the criminals! Bring out some sausage!
But he did, I saw this, he did, he looked really sort of like crushed and defeated, like, and like, how could I possibly
I think that's because he was crushed and defeated.
Yeah, I know, but was he convinced he was going to win this?
Well, the thing is, he was the MP for that neck of the woods, so he was the Labour MP for Hull. And then, of course, what you forget about, despite stereotypes, is that part of the country does clearly have some good working class Labour seats. But surprisingly, there's a couple of deceivingly Tory seats knocking around there as well. There's this polarisation between left and right. So you've got the John Prescott, then you've got people like David Davis, who's an MP in that neck of the woods as well. So between it was the Tories what won it. I thought the independent guy, who was a former police chief, might have actually won it, but for some reason that was lost on daft Tory and Labour voters who decided to play football teams with their politics. Oh, I always vote Labour.
Yeah,
you've got to go Tory. It's like, well, just vote for who's ever going to be best at the job.
Yeah.
Bear in mind, you're running for the job of police chief. The clue was in the job title. Police chief. Who should get the job as the police chief? Should it be the pie-munching former deputy PM John Prescott, Tory we never heard of, or the bloke that did the job for 32 years? Crazy bastards.
From Jay, and at least 59 others, do you think that former wireless DJ Chris Moyles is a shrewd operator with an eye for personal fiscal responsibility and razor-like brain for keeping his income tax bill as low as he possibly can, or is he just a greedy quack quack oops?
Look, I haven't got a big moral view on somebody who says to you, look, you've earned a few mil this year. There's a way of, you're still going to be paying loads of money. It's perfectly legal. Some people won't like it, but it's perfectly legal. And you can pay a bit less. Well, you can do it. Yeah. Jimmy Carr, all that kind of capering. You know, lots of. Are you in a morally superior position if you're the waiter that doesn't declare a tip? You know, morality and taxation works across all levels of pay. However, it wasn't that that was the problem. It was the other bit, wasn't it? It was his lawyer going to court and arguing that this must be kept secret.
Yes.
Because otherwise, it will be a breach of his human rights. What a... fun of life.
But we wish him well. Him and his mate, Dave.
Just known as Dave now, by the way.
And not his mate either, but that's another story. From Herman Munster's neck bolt. Why isn't Phil cool on TV anymore?
Good question.
He was amazing. That is a good question.
Yep.
I don't know. I always remembered him being very good, but we had people around for dinner. Sorry, I forgot to invite you. And we had a discussion about Phil Cool, and we thought, well, there's got to be stuff of Phil Cool on YouTube, hasn't there? Yeah, there is. And it's
not all that.
It's not, well, it is, but it's...
But that's not his fault, is it? You were watching his show from 20 years
no,
ago.
No, I think it is. I think it's very much his fault.
I think he should have built that into the act.
I demand a written
time
apology.
Time capsule-based properties to his impersonations.
Yeah, but he had that whole rubbery face thing going on, and he was good. I remember him being pretty funny.
I saw him live. I saw him live in Southport. Bunch of years ago, and he was road testing some stuff because he occupied that kind of Monday night 9 o'clock BBC Two, which was the sort of Jasper Carrot stroke Dave Allen slot.
Yeah,
and that's the one they kind of, because he sort of fitted into that kind of area of comedy, and he was really good. And he road tested some material, and he took the roof off the place. He was brilliant, and had a couple of TV series, then disappeared.
But right? Why? But why? Because he did BBC and then he went to ITV.
No, his manager, Kev. I've got no idea
can you,
why.
Can you find out?
I will.
Can you give him a ring?
Andre, can you Wikipedia Phil? He's doing it already. He's back right. To us in a sec.
Well, that would be good to find out. Okay. And I bet when you phone him, he'll answer the phone. Yeah. He's like Terry Wogan or something.
What's that? Nando's? Kev.
From Belle in Aberdeen. Belle is in Aberdeen. Belle feels the need to tell us he or she is in Aberdeen. However, Belle says, are you two just a pair of schoolboys who think funny names are the height of all things humorous? You might care to grow up.
This is a reference to the now famous Fanny Babu.
There's nothing wrong with a bit of Fanny Babu.
I think Fanny Babu... Oh, Kev. I think Fanny Babu's Twitter following has increased about 1,000-fold. But did you know what I found out this week?
What did you find out?
I found out there was a former Australian minister in New South Wales. I kid you not, his name was Dick Face. I am not kidding you. New South Wales ran out of office in about 2003. He was the Honourable Dick Face. There was also a sportsman or sports promoter or something, called Dick Bender, which is also rather humorous as well, since we're on the penile humour department. Yeah. Twig.
Dick Face is a classic.
Dick Face
now,
is brilliant.
If Dick married Fanny and had a double-barreled surname, you could introduce them as Dick and Fanny Babu Face, which I think is pretty cool.
That would work a treat. What else have we got there, Kev?
A couple of seasonal-related ones.
Oh, no.
From Frank, who's switching on the Once a Word Christmas lights this year? And also from Nick, who says, are you and Kev buying each other a Christmas present, and will there be a Once a World Christmas party? If so, can we all come?
Yes, yes, and yes. In fact, I've got, Kev's. I bought you the new Little Mix album.
Oh, thanks a lot, mate.
You're kind of...
How did you know?
It's that Geordie Cockney combo you can't get enough of. So who is switching on our Christmas lights?
I'll tell you.
Go on.
Brian Cant.
Oh, he can, I'm telling you. If you got in early doors with his agent, you'd definitely get a slot. Any more, Kev?
Yeah, from Agent Dale Cooper. Regarding all the cartoon nonsense you've been sprouting recently, do you remember the Hair Bear Bunch? Talking hippie bears who live in a gadget-filled cave and ride an invisible motorbike.
Yeah.
The drugs must have been really f***ing good in those days.
I do remember the Hair Bear Bunch. I don't really remember what they did, other than they were just bears with massive hair.
And an invisible motorbike.
Did they?
They used to ride around on an invisible motorbike.
Remember, wait till your father gets home.
Yes, but only because they showed it. It was when the BBC had no money and they decided to show all of this crumbly old cartoon
stuff.
Well,
these are sort of Hanna-Barbera stuff that didn't make the A list of...
Yeah, and also which didn't really work. I think it was probably bigger in the States than it was here.
Wait till your father gets...
From Lou. Lou says, what are your views on the Gaza conflict?
This is exactly the right format to get into that, isn't it, right now? Thank you, Lou. Can I just point you in the direction of, I don't know, Newsnight? Oh, no, on second thoughts, you are in the right place.
Hey! Finally, from Wibbly Wobbly Womble Hunter. Wibbly says, saw on the news that they've just manufactured the last typewriter ever in the UK. Mm. Here's my question. Who the fuck still uses a typewriter?
I've got one.
Why?
Well, I don't use it. I've got an old kind of antique one from the 40s. Bought it in New York. It's one of those old kind of newsroom Citizen Kane-y type numbers. How do you display that? You can't put it on the mantelpiece, can you?
But then
what
that's
to do with it?
But then you're buying that as like an antique
it's
curio,
beautiful.
You know, something to have a look at. With a new modern typewriter, who is it that actually uses a typewriter in this day?
There, every now and again, there'll be an interview with somebody who very proudly says, don't do email, don't do computers. What era are you living in?
I know.
And they almost say it with pride. I'm trying to think, there's a couple of famous cases of writers who still use the old keyboard. I can't think who they are, but there are a couple of notables.
In saying all of this, I have just remembered who does use a typewriter. The Burke who composed the f***ing theme tune to Episodes!
If you've got any questions you want to throw away, ian@onceaword.com, kev@onceaword.com. It's really rather simple. Don't be going anywhere, kids. This pod is about to get very, very exciting. It can't get less exciting, can it? We never tire of this feature. You might. We don't. There are plenty of them. It is the random acts of a rational annoyance. They may be microscopic in their insignificance, but these little nuggets of life have an uncanny habit of wrecking your pigging day.
I'm going to be sent into a spiral this week.
Yeah, your head goes into a 360 spiral.
Hey!
There it is. Minor as they may be, they are random acts of irrational annoyance. Kev, start us off.
I have two.
Go.
Firstly, guests who cancel 10 minutes before you're due to start a podcast.
Yeah.
I'm quietly seething about it.
We don't need the guest.
We could name him. I could say who it is right now, and then, you know, but then I don't suppose he'd come in again. I think we've already said too much. And also, people who, if they're sitting in front of you in a forward-facing direction on a train or a plane or whatever else, and this really is an irrational annoyance, they reach back and they put their hands on the headrest in the seat in front, so the hands are effectively in your space. Do you know what I mean? It is fairly irrational, but it really bugs the hell out of me.
Yeah, well,
I actually want to start... I want to tap them. I want to carry around a small hammer and just tap the knuckles of these people. Just say, just don't.
Pond Jumper on Twitter, similar kind of area. He said, peeps behind you on a plane who complain when you recline your seat. So I'm 6'4". I need room. And I paid for the seat. But it is true, even if you're not 6'4", you do have a right to recline your seat.
Now, you do, and that's fine, but what I would object to in that case is people who don't recline them slowly. The people who press a button and just wham it back.
Oh, they give it a bit of a Leonard Rossiter number.
Yeah, exactly. That's rude.
Yes, especially at lunchtime.
Yeah. If you press the button and just sort of slowly ease it back, then that's fine. And as you say, you have paid for that reclining thing.
Here's a bunch of them, Kev.
What about yours?
Well, as it happens, I've got three brief ones.
Have you?
Anyone over the age of about 22 still uses a f***ing skateboard. Put it down! Man alive! There is that point. You know when they do the, like, kicking it so that it pops up and then they catch it? I always hope that gets them right in the septum. Now, here's another. Think long-distance train journeys. The amounts of tickets, seat reservations and receipts you get for just a return journey. Anyway, I went to Edinburgh the other day. They had about 18 separate portions for three of them to come back from Edinburgh.
Right.
But how did that ever happen? And how long does it take to print those mummers out of the machine? You can miss a train while waiting for your ticket to print. And the other one is old men with out-of-control nasal hair. I had this. It's also train-based. There was a fella opposite me. He was clearly... He actually looks a bit like Stanley Baxter, the old comedian.
I'm sure it wasn't.
Well, I did wonder. He also had that old man thing of having his trousers around his neck, almost. But he was clearly quite well presented, and he was reading a book on, I think it was the philosophy of science or something. So I'm thinking, this is a man with a brain. He's neatly groomed in all other areas.
All right.
But then hanging out of his hooter was essentially Roy Wood's beard. Thinking, how, at what point, when you're... bearing in mind, this is a guy that doesn't have any other facial hair.
No.
So he clearly shaves. Moving that facial hair would have been like moving a curtain to one side. How can he not know that that looks unsightly?
It's fair to say, though, and you know this, once you get past the age of, like, 30, and I know you're not there yet, but it'll come, believe me, the old nasal hair does seem to kick off a little bit.
Yes,
do you,
it does.
Do you have a preferred removal method?
Well, you've got to have one of those little electric things.
The little electric things work.
Yeah,
well, yeah.
How can you have an inch and a half of it, Kev, hanging out your nose?
But you must have had this yourself when you're sort of, you know, you're doing your shaving and you're shaving your bits and bobs and your face and stuff. And, you know, let's say that you have been tidying up the nasal passages.
Sure.
But there's one hair in particular that you can't get.
Tweezer.
So you need to tweezer. But haven't you had this where you pull it out of your nose and it seems to be about half an inch long?
Well, the way it makes your eyes water, you'd think it was an arse hair that went all the way round.
It's true. That's a design fault, obviously.
A design fault in the nose cavity.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something wrong there. So anyway, any old fellas listening to this, you old duffers, you old sea dogs, absolutely, you know, nothing wrong with the fact that your nose sprouts the hair, but do yourself a favour, boys. Just give it a trim.
Where do you stand on hairy ears?
Oh, that's, yeah. I mean, as if it's not bad enough with Matey on the train, who looks like he's snotting Brian Blessed's face. Yeah, as if that's not bad enough. Folks sprouting vegetation from their lug holes.
Yeah.
Back to Matey. He must have, at some point, questioned the pendulous arrangement hanging from his proboscis.
Hey! But then, as we're talking about body here, I mean, we've spoken about you and your...
balls.
Saccage.
Saccage.
The saccage. It's the saccage and not the saucage. But, do you wax your chest or do you...
No, I'm not. I don't have a hairy chest. I think if I did have a hairy chest, I'd probably wax the bastard off.
How are your shoulders? Are they all right?
They're very well, thank you. How are yours?
No, they're fine.
They're good. You're not...
I don't have hairy shoulders. My brother has hairy shoulders.
Does he?
And he has to shave them. It's very funny.
Here's one from James in Pompey. Old people... We're not having a pop at old people today, constantly, by the way.
No, that's next.
But he says, old people on motorised scooters who drive on the road and hold up the traffic. I think... I'm thinking of getting one of those things.
Oh, you should.
Just for mooching around on. All those things that Jamiroquai has. What do they call Segways? Now, if you...
Do you mean JK or do you mean the Baton Jamiroquai?
Well, JK.
All showing up on stage on the one Segway.
JK had or has one of those. And Lembit Opik as well. I think he's a Segway fan.
Didn't the inventor of the Segway die by driving his Segway off a cliff? I know it doesn't. It's not funny.
Yes, you know, I think you're
but
right.
But I'm sure he did, yeah.
Yeah, there was something about that.
It's weird, though, isn't it? So we should get you a Segway, but only if it's got the Once a Word logo on the front.
Oh, absolutely right. And lights.
Yeah.
And one of those...
Siren.
Russell says, the annoyed look on the cyclist's face as he cuts you up on the inside of your blind spot, yet somehow this is your fault. He actually wrote, this is your bad. Can't be using those kind of phrases.
Does he think he's cool or something?
Russ is cool, yeah.
Is he? How do you know he's cool?
Look, he's cool. I know.
How do you know? Have you met him?
All right, I'm guessing.
Do you hang out with him in his crib?
Me and Russell Whitfield, the time.
Right.
Steve Hallam says, Michael Bublé.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I know people who love Michael Bublé. Normal people, sensible people that I like.
Look, I was having a text conversation with Jack Whitehall this week about coming on the show in the future.
Yeah.
And he said, tomorrow night I'm recording Graham Norton's programme and I'm glad to be doing it because Bublé is on as well and I'm hoping to scrounge some tickets from him for his gig.
He's sold out, isn't he?
So Whitehall likes the Bublé.
Wow.
There was a surprise.
There's an exclusive for you. Jump on that Daily Mail.
Paul Harris says, fold up Brompton bikes that are taken on commuter trains. Owners of these are etiquette-less idiots who space hog.
I see less of them now.
There seemed to be a period of the fold-up bike.
Well, yeah, I mean, it probably is still around, but there used to be a time when everybody had them.
Well, you can't take a normal bike on a train at certain times now, can you?
No, but you still have the fold-up bikes, but you don't... I don't see.
Can you take the fold-up bike at any time?
I don't know.
Stephen says, I just had a canvasser at my door, even though I have a sign saying, no canvassers!
Does he have one that says no junk mail as well?
It doesn't do any good, does it?
No hawkers.
They're still hawkers. Does anybody say that? Are you a hawker?
Yeah, it's like...
I believe I am, sir.
Neighbourhood watch.
Alan Snedden says folk who let their dogs get all over the pavement. It's like playing hopscotch around my way. Stop it! Arrest them!
I bet you do that.
Now, you take a bag out with you, but then what happens, you see? My little dog, she doesn't really look big enough to be knocking out any substantial goods from the rear end.
Okay.
So it's always a little bit annoying when, you know, suddenly you look round and the dog is crouched mid-puppage. And there's that fleeting moment when you look, and it looks like Gary Lineker smoking a cigar. But you do wonder, how on earth did something that small produce something that big? So you have your little bag with you, and it's always, if other people are walking past, this is unnatural territory, Kev. You're picking up poo.
Yeah, but then, you know, I'm sure there's plenty of bins where you can deposit it. Or do you just chuck it over someone's fence?
Oh, yes, throw it into somebody's front door, usually. The rag picker says, junk mail. Dave Davis, not that one, says, news agencies that put everyone panic stories on their websites, and then people panic, and then they wonder why everybody's panicking.
And I think as well, there's that, and there's also the proliferation in news these days of the breaking news banner. Like, and I think it started around about September the 11th. And then he just sort of kept it going. So it goes like, breaking news. And all these guys go, and it says, Kerry Katona has a new book out. And it's like, you know what? That's not really worthy of my time and or attention.
Roberto says, products in shops that decrease in size yet remain the same in price. Do they think we are stupid? Well, the obvious contender for this discussion is the Curly Whirly, of course, which we all swear was a metre long.
Yeah, because we were smaller.
But that's all it was, wasn't it? When you look at how dinky those chairs were that you used to sit on in infant school, they never looked small at the time. That was normal. So did the Curly Whirly ever decrease in size?
It may have done, but I don't think by the significance that people think it has. The double decker. You remember the double decker?
Yeah, of course. Still get them.
Well, yeah, but it used to have raisins in it. It doesn't have raisins in it.
What happened to the raisin in the double?
Well, they took the raisins out because they did consumer testing and people said, we don't like the raisins. So they took them out. It also had, and I discovered this the other day, it's also bigger than it used to be.
Right.
And, interestingly, do you know what it's flavoured with? Coffee.
Is that a fact?
Yeah, that sort of slightly sort of tangy
taste. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's coffee.
On the other hand, the stuff that's got bigger that you didn't want to get bigger, like bags of crisps in petrol stations.
Yes.
I don't want a bag of Wotsits that looks like a sack of potatoes. I just want a little bag. Yeah. I don't want one that feeds seven people and wants to charge me £1.50 for the privilege. And they make a big song about bigger bag, extra value. But I don't actually want a bigger bag.
Hello,
sir.
What? What?
Sir?
What? Sit.
Ow!
What was that?
That was what, sir?
What was what, bottle?
What's it, sir?
What?
Well, we'd be frankly failing if I didn't ask you. King of the crisps. Well, what are they?
Interesting.
Fangs?
No. I'm going to go for, and you can't get them that, Walker's Pickled Onion, but you can't get them all the time.
Pickled onion.
Pickled onion.
Yellow packet?
Yellowy, greeny packet.
Yeah.
But you don't get them all the time. You used to be able to get them everywhere, but now they only seem to bring them out for a few months at a time.
See, Walker's salt and vinegar are always, you know, still good value.
Yeah.
But again, your square crisp is good. Disco's?
No, I'm with you on the square crisp. Disco's?
Salt and vinegar?
They're okay.
Quite strong.
Yeah.
Take your tongue, take but a layer of skin off your tongue.
They're not. You're going from the realm of crisps into potato snacks now, and that's a different beast.
Well, so where does your Wotsit sit on that?
I'm not a big fan of Wotsit.
You're not a fan of Wotsit?
They turn your fingers orange.
Well, yeah, they do, but not permanently.
No, it's permanent.
It's not a tattoo, Kev. It's a fucking crisp.
Look at that guy who used to present Bargain Hunt. He just ate too many Wotsits.
Yeah.
But more to the point.
And the Celtic manager.
No, but I'm with you there on the salt and square crisps. It's a classic that has endured. Do you remember, though? Christ, talking about Chris, this is like listening to Danny Baker on BBC London.
Sorry?
Yeah. You remember Space Invaders?
Of course.
The Chris Space Invaders. Yeah. There was a time when they brought them out, but they put loads of food colouring, so they were multicoloured. Do you remember that?
Yes.
They were like bright green and blue and stuff like that.
Didn't that have to be taken off?
I think it probably
did. Because I think it was giving kids multiple limbs or something.
I've always admired your extra hand.
William says, people who phone you while they're eating... There is nothing worse than somebody eating on the other end of the phone, but some people do it quite happily and quite noisily. This in from Michael. Cinema ads and trailers. I love seeing films, but I hate the 30 minutes wait beforehand. There was a bit of a stink, wasn't there, over the Bond movie. They were showing up to 40 minutes of ads before you actually got to see the film.
At least you don't get intermissions anymore. like when a film will stop halfway through. I don't know about you, but I think intermissions are terribly old hat, and I'm very pleased that they'd be completely phased out of modern society.
And one from Owen, who says...
Now it's time for ice cream. Or maybe some nuts. A cool glass of orange. Why not try a hot dog? Or the real thing, a cool, refreshing Coca-Cola. From the sales staff and in the foyer. Now.
People who don't give up their seats to pregnant ladies. It's always me that does, says Owen. Well, some now wear a badge saying baby on board.
Badge, yeah.
Is that good? Is that a good thing to do? Is that so that people aren't embarrassed? Because some people are embarrassed because you don't know whether the person is pregnant or just large.
Yeah.
I say that non-facetiously.
No, completely.
It is a call. It's a judgment call.
Especially in winter when people are wearing big coats and you can't quite tell.
True. What is the actual need to sit down when you're having a baby?
Well, you get tired, don't you?
Yes.
You know, you've got another human being inside you, and...
No, not the conception. I see. Yes. Great one the other day.
Audrey, give me some great one the other day music!
Charing Cross Station, I'm getting off the train. Saw a fella, clearly couldn't see too well. He was using a stick. I assume he was either completely blind or mostly blind.
Right.
And I thought, you know, cause I know some blind folk... So through mates, I know a little bit about, you know, when you do and when you don't assist in a situation such as this. I like to think myself as a bit of an Esther Ranson when it comes to hearts of gold.
Hearts of gold.
I was about to say to this fella, do you want a hand? And before I could, somebody else said, do you want a hand? All he wanted was somebody to just, you know, link arms with, to take him to the ticket barrier, and then he was fine after that. And so a fella beat me to it, and he said, yes, that's very kind of you, thank you. And he put his arm out in the kind of sort of Wizard of Oz yellow brick road fashion. And the fellow with the stick linked arms and then promptly walked into a pillar. But the funny thing is, neither of them referenced it. Off they went.
Yeah.
They are random acts of irrational annoyance. If you've got any of those, send them through to us, ian@onceaword.com or kev@onceaword.com. As you will have gathered, a bit of a different show tonight.
Yes.
The guest didn't show up.
Yeah.
I mean, there are multifarious reasons behind this non-appearance, and we've yet to name who it is.
Yeah, but I'll say this much. Operation Yew Tree is...
Just took another scalp.
Yeah, there you go.
It's not all positive, because we've got Kev's Showbiz Shoebox coming up.
Oh, you're nice, aren't you?
Oh, kill me now! Oh, hello. This is new.
The Mitsubishi L200 comes with a 125,000-mile, 5-year warranty. In fact, if you bought an L200 today, it would last roughly 5 years longer than a politician's promise. For more info on the Mitsubishi L200, visit your local dealer. The Mitsubishi L200. No environment too tough.
Sideshow Kev's Showbiz Shoebox.
Oh, and how the Christmas tree just lit up. As we present another cacophony of showbizy nonsense with Sideshow Kev's shoebox of tippery.
Oh, thank you very much, Mr. Askey.
Every little piggy's got a curly tail, a curly tail, a curly tail. Every little piggy's got a curly tail, and nobody knows the reason why.
It's Sideshow Kev's Showbiz Shoebox, your weekly look into the box of showbiz fluff we find under the bed. Now, this week, social media has meant that we're exposed to views and opinions both staggeringly brilliant and ridiculously facile. But how do we know who knows their stuff and who doesn't? Well, enter a website called Clout, which claims to look at your Twitter profile and measure your influence in certain fields and subjects. For example, Clout suggests that... Once a Word correspondent, Mr. Del Strain is influential in the subjects of cigars, coffee, and Glasgow.
Okay.
With that in mind, it's time to play the Big Clouty Clout Clout Cavalcade. Audrey, give me some Big Clouty Clout Clout Clown music, you clouty, clowny, clowny, clown, cavalcade clown.
Ooh.
Very simple, Ian Collins. I'll tell you a bunch of subjects a noted figure is influential in. You just have to tell me who it is from the available options.
All right, skip. Think we can polish this one off a bit lively?
Number one, this stalwart podcast scientist is influential in the subjects of MC Hammer, Scotland, and Lego. Is it A, once a word guest, Helen and Ollie's Ollie? Is it B, once a word guest, Andy Zaltzman from The Bugle? Or C, once a word toyed, Ian Collins?
It's got to be our mate Andy Zaltzman.
Andy Zaltzman?
Yeah.
It's the incorrect answer. The actual answer is Ollie Mann.
Ollie's an expert on Glasgow and Lego.
And more importantly, MC Hammer.
That's got to be cobblers.
I didn't say any of this was accurate. Number two, this highly regarded madman and complete moron is influential in the subject of teen 90s pop flumpets Hanson, Family Guy, and Business Matters. Is it A, Piers Morgan, B, Sideshow Kev, or C, Ian Collins?
That's Piers Morgan.
It's the incorrect answer. The actual answer is B, Sideshow Kev. Now, I can only think that because they've seen the word Hanson occasionally in my tweets,
yeah,
I'm therefore an expert, according to Clout, in the band Hanson.
Family Guy, that's not... I mean, there are others that come above Family Guy for you.
Yeah, like Simpsons as well. Yeah. And Business Matters. Well, we all know what a smart businessman I am.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I think James Dyson can sleep easy when Kev's around.
Now, that guy sucks. Number three, this noted tabloid-tearing tearaway is said to be influential in the subjects of Kent, Benidorm, and shoes. Is it A, once a word guest, Carol McGiffin? Is it B, Bob Carolgees? Or is it C, Ian Collins?
It's Carol McGiffin.
It's the correct answer.
Yay!
Is it Benidorm the TV show or Benidorm? Because she doesn't... I don't think she goes to Benidorm. She goes
no.
to, like, Iceland.
She goes all over the show.
Thailand.
But I think she's coming in the early part of next year as well for another appearance on the pod, which is great. Early doors, 2013. But what she does like is episodes.
Which, as we said, is amusing.
That's amusing, yeah.
It's right. Yeah, it's amusing.
Not exactly Fawlty Towers, though, is it?
No. Number four, this well-groomed yet strangely hapless pet owner is influential in the subjects of Brazil, Freaks, and the San Antonio Spurs. Is it A, David Beckham, B, Ludwig, the robot egg that had mechanical arms and lived in a tree, or C, Ian Collins?
What the hell was that Ludwig thing? I'm going for him.
Really? The actual answer is... C, Ian Collins.
How?
I don't know.
And why has Ludwig got a Twitter account?
I don't know, but I can... Brazil? How are you on Brazil?
You're telling me the mole has one, Nick.
How are you on Brazil and Freaks and the San Antonio Spurs?
Freaks, the original 30s film.
Yeah, but do you tweet about it?
I don't... I think once I made a pinhead comment.
Right. Brazil?
That was the official name, by the way. It's not a derogatory slur.
No, I...
So I was kind of... I liked sort of horror flicks.
Yeah. Brazil
what? Alan? The country?
Yeah.
The film?
What did you call him? San Antonio Spurs?
No idea.
No. Number five. This fairly admired and oddly attired gent is influential in the subject of... pizza, relationships, and Facebook. Is it A, the Dalai Lama, B, Mr. Bennett, the janitor off Take Heart, or C, Ian Collins?
Oh, it's got to be Mr. Bennett, the janitor from Take Heart.
Do you think he has a Twitter account?
Yeah, of course he does. Bennett loves it.
Mr. Bennett _ janitor off Take Heart. I don't think that will fit.
No, you can get all that in there.
The actual answer is... A, the Dalai Lama, pizza, relationships, and Facebook.
The Dalai Lama likes pizza.
Listen, I'm not saying that...
It's a vegetarian for a start, so it could only be a veggie pizza.
Yeah.
Which is no pizza at all.
Well, yeah. I'm not saying that Clout has some, you know, interesting algorithms, but, well, yes, I am. Clout has some interesting algorithms. And that's the Showbiz Shoebox for this week.
Thank God for that.
For the opportunity to win a Showbiz Shoebox of your very own, details follow, I think it's next week. Is it next week?
It is next week.
Follow me on Twitter, @Sideshow_Kev.
Voicemail roulette.
Please leave a message.
And roll up, roll up. It is voicemail roulette. Are we hopeful this week that despite the kind of tat and cobblers we've had over the previous almost 1 year now, that we will finally be the chief recipients of quality?
Well, what do you think?
No, is the resounding answer. The number is 07789 183262. Now, that's a normal voicemail number. We don't make shekels out of this caper. It's just a normal mobile phone. It is 24 hours a day, and we do encourage you to use it when you come out of the pub. And then we get all annoyed because we get some crap sent to us.
Yeah, when it works. That being said, there are other ways to send us stuff, which is becoming increasingly popular.
What are those?
What are those? What are those?
What are those, Kev?
Well, you could email us, kev@onceaword.com, send us your audio delights. We'll forward them to Andre, whose email address is andrejporch@hotmail.com. Although I don't think I'm supposed to say that.
So, what you mean, like, you could, rather than ringing 07789 183262, which you can just go to your phone. I just found this thing called Voice Notes. So you can actually record a message on there and then email it to us in brilliant quality. Or the Android smartphone equivalent of. And email it through to kev@onceaword.com. Or the Andre previous address. Speaking of which, Kev, I do believe our first offering comes via this very vehicle.
Well, let's find out.
Can you press the button, Kev?
I'm ripping out the page from the contact book that has the name and number of the guest who cancelled on us this evening, and throwing it at it in order to activate the machinery.
Hi, Ian. Hi, Kev. It's Michelle calling from Watford. Just wondered if either of you have ever eaten kangaroo penis. I reckon Kev probably has. Love the podcast. Bye.
Well, Michelle.
Oh, yeah. I'll have a good old side show.
No, it's not a good side. We are not suggesting you have a penchant for the... Nobody is saying that, Kev. What I think is meant by that is that, you know, we've both done a bit of travelling.
Yes.
But you've got... Whereas I take a suitcase, you take a rucksack.
And well, I used to.
But the point is, you've been on some of those kind of slurp and turf kind of break, you know, where you do a bit of jungle detail. You've had moments of culinary madness while on the road.
This is true.
I think that's the implication. You might have munched on an eyeball. You might have done a camel's todger. I don't know what you've done, but you might have done.
I can tell you what I nearly sampled, and I was very close to sampling it. I ordered it. It was there in front of me. Goat's blood soup with goat's penis. Now, that was in Vietnam, and that in itself,
yeah,
it's a mouthful. Let's say that.
Well, I think Michelle's question has been adequately answered when she did have a sneaky feeling you might have gone todger-bound in the dish department.
Listen, I did not sample the willy of said furry beast, but I just wanted to have a look at it to see what it looked like. And it's a sort of red thing with a
yeah.
In it.
All we'll say is that Kev was the only person around the table that asked for a doggy bag. So we do wonder what happened that evening.
You should have seen the dog.
Let's have another one.
Yee-hoo! How you doing there, podcast dinks? I got a new tune for you. A long, long, long time ago, Ian Collins had a radio show. But he gave it up to do this cack with that stupid Scottish ball sack. Yeah, that's you, Kev. But why I'm on it, no one knows. Only that this podcast blows. And A-Funk can kiss my junk. And A-Funk can kiss my junk. So, Ian, it's not too late. I can help you make this podcast great, you cousin-loving weird old freaks.
Ladies and gentlemen, the BBC's Mike Hanson, which I think tells us everything we need to know about the BBC. He was never going to get the Director General gig, was he, really? That was never on the cards in any shape or form. Here's another.
Here I am, singing very badly in public. There is a point to this horrible.
Kev, can you pass me the official Once a Word fully licensed AK-47, please?
Here it is.
Excuse me. That's better. That was Kaiser in Newcastle. We have no idea what that is, or even where it came from, for that matter.
No.
Could have come from anywhere. We did say that, you know, we're up for some once-a-word talent, and maybe that was, you know, after Hanson. Actually, after Hanson, that sounded pretty good. Get him back on!
Hey!
Get him for next week! Come on, Kaiser! Any of those, just email them through to us, please. Thank you. You know the drill.
Ian Collins wants a word.
Strange, isn't it?
It's a bit empty.
Well, I mean, normally by now we'd have the Volavons out. It looks like a f***ing Iceland ad when a guest turns up round here. I can actually use this opportunity, though, Sideshow, to say that James May, Jack Whitehall, Karen McGiffin, Jason Manford, Bishop, all of those people have also refused to come on this podcast. Now, we'll all be on with us in the next few months on Once a Word. So there's a taste here. It's just that this week, the lazy bastard never showed up. That's all right. Well, at least we've got this.
That being said, we have gone on a little bit, haven't we? We have been rabbiting a bit.
It was an elongated affair, I think, is the podcast term.
Oh, I know what we could do. You know what I really like? It's one of my favourite parts of the podcast.
Oh.
Let's try this.
Credit stream.
And stand easy, kids. That's your lot for this episode. But we are, of course, back next week. Thanks to you for downloading. If you like what we do and want to help support the podcast, make sure you leave us a lovely, delicious 5-star review. Android users can try us on the free Stitcher app or download at stitcher.com/onceaword. Thanks to all of our guests, even though there weren't any. All can be followed on Twitter, as can we, at Ian Collins UK. The in-show feature and sponsor music is by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. The show's technical operator, Andre Porch, programme edited by Cass Khan. Our researcher was David Miliband, and today's chunky fact comes courtesy of Luke in Braintree, who tells me that a man's best friend, the humble dog, can make over 100 facial expressions, including surprise, devastation and indifference, whereas a cat can only make 2. Then again, cats are cats. Oh, and as ever, the in-show catering was provided by Abdul's Coffee Shack. Join us next week for an episode that Simon Cowell may well try to ban before it even gets to air. Find out why in 7 days. Goodbye.
A Big Things Media production.
Big Things.
Ian Collins wants a word. Powered by the Mitsubishi L200. With a 5-year, 125,000-mile warranty, that's longer than an MP's expenses claim.
Don't forgive and don't forget. And do unto others before they do unto you. And most especially, keep your eye on your friends, because your enemies will take care of themselves. It's good to get caught bluffing early on, because after that, somebody's going to call you when you got a winning hand. That is, of course, unless you're playing with somebody better than you.